I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but it's good to see Annabelle back with us this week. She had a tough weekend last weekend and a couple of days. But anyway, a few days, I don't know how many. But anyway, it's good to have her back with us today. Not sure how much she's smiling, but it is good to have her back. Yeah, there she is. All right. Good. I've always said that when I preach a lesson, I never address it towards anyone in the audience specifically. There have been times, many times actually, when people will be leaving and they say, "You must have preached that for me," and as much as I would like to claim credit for that clairvoyant way that I could relate, I've never been able to do that. But this lesson today is for me. You're all invited to stay with me. But this is with me. In light of retirement coming, I know I say I'm good with it because I don't know what's going to be there, but God's already there. And that's a true statement, and I believe that. But at the same time, you kind of like get a glimpse now and then. There's some things that you want to see, and you can't. And so I've been thinking about that, and I've been doing some personal study along that line of faith, and so that's what I'm going to share with you today, some of that. Looking at Hebrews chapter 11, it's often referred to as the faith chapter. There are, starting in verse 4, sections start out with "by faith." And then it lists that person's name, and then it says something that they had done as a result of their faith. And so all the people listed are from the Old Testament. I think that's really interesting. And doing a study on faith and just trying to look up all these things, while all these folks are from the Old Testament, there's very little mention of faith in the Old Testament. There is examples of faith and there are stories of faith, but the word faith appears 246 times in the Bible. Only 16 of those are in the Old Testament. I thought that was really interesting since Hebrews 11 is all about Old Testament folks and it's a story of faith, but the word faith just doesn't appear much. I have theories, I have speculations as to why that is. I'll not get into those. But I think it's interesting because regardless of that, Hebrews 11 makes it clear that there were plenty of people in the Old Testament who exhibited tremendous faith. And so you look at these individuals, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, on and on and on. It talks about tremendous people of faith and things that they accomplished because of their faith. So when you find yourselves in those times when you need to depend on faith, as I am now, as many of you are now, it helps to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and his promises to us. So when you look at these examples, and in the upcoming weeks, we will look at some of these examples. I don't know how many. Hebrews chapter 11, virtually every verse is a sermon waiting to be preached. I'm not going to do all those, but I want to look at faith. Again, faith is Bible 101. It's basic. It's where you start before you can go anywhere else. And the Hebrew writer tells us that. He begins the book with that. It takes faith to believe what you can't see. And so when you're charting your life's journey, when you wherever that begins, when you get out of high school and you start looking at college or you start looking at career and you start charting that out, you're making plans for things that you can't see. And as you go through those stages of life, you're getting married. Well, you can imagine what that's going to look like, but you can't see it, and so on throughout life. And so it's really important. It's really important that we have a great amount of faith, because faith is, you can't see. You can't see what's coming. So we read in Hebrews 11, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And right off the bat, you have these two words that don't seem to go together. You have assurance and you have hope. And those things, I'm assured that this is going to happen. I hope it happens type thing. And that seems like it's a dichotomy of feeling, a dichotomy of wits trying to figure out what it is. But it's an absolute that the Hebrew writer tells us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. There again, that seems not right. How can you be convicted of something that you haven't seen? How can you be convicted of something that you look and it's not even there in as far as your vision is concerned? For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And that just sets the base for me. I can look around and I can see everything in the world. And the Hebrew writer says, everything you see came from something that wasn't. Everything you see came from things which were not visible. What does that tell me? I don't have to see it to know it's real. I don't have to see it to know what's out there. I don't have to visually have this absolute picture of what it's going to look like before I can believe that it's there. And so with that base, as the Hebrew writer starts out, Hebrews chapter 11, he says some tremendous things and he gives us some tremendous truths. But it's things that we need to learn. And I doubt that I'm going to say anything today that you've never heard before, but it's things that we need to be convicted of. So what is faith? Well, the answer is found in what we just read in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And if you were trying to explain that to someone, they would say that makes no sense. And on the surface, it may not. Faith involves believing certain things without having the concrete evidence to support it. I have faith in a God that I can't point to and say he's over there. Now, I can say he's everywhere, but that doesn't really help, because it's hard to conceptualize someone being omnipresent. It's hard to just fit that into the confines of my mind. Your minds may be bigger, I don't know. But it's hard for me to put that concept into my mind. And yet, that's exactly where we are. Without that concrete, I can say, I believe totally in God. I believe 100% in God. Where is it? Well, I can't point to him. It doesn't take any faith at all to believe in Bob. It may take faith to believe Bob, but it doesn't take any faith to believe in Bob, because I'm right here, because you can see me. It's not anything to do with faith to say, well, there's Bob. But it is faith to say there's God, because I can't lay my eyes on him. I can lay my eyes on evidence. I can look at the world around me. I can see all the evidence of the creation and all the evidence of God's handiwork, but I can't see God. And that is a problem for some people. I can't take you to God and show him to you, but I can't put coordinates in my GPS and say God and have it take me right to him. Do I believe in the existence of God? Absolutely. How? By faith. And it just kind of goes around and around and around. And it's sometimes hard to get to the point where you at the end of something, because you're at the end of something and it's at the very beginning of something else. It's difficult to do that. And it's not just religious people that have faith. Even non-religious people have faith in something, or they have faith in someone. Some folks will put their faith in scientific theories. Some people will put their faith in certain individuals. Even atheists have faith. They have faith that God doesn't exist. But that's faith. They've made a stand. They've taken a position that God doesn't exist. By faith, they accept that concept. They can't prove that he doesn't. They just don't believe he doesn't. So what is faith built on? Where does it come from? Now, for the atheists, it may be based on the existence of evil. They see evil in the world, and because they see evil, then they don't have faith in God, or they have faith that God does not exist. Or maybe it's something more personal in their lives. Maybe it's an experience that has happened to them or to their family, or they've suffered some kind of a tragedy. For those who believe in scientific theories, it's the trust in the scientists who came up with those theories and the believability of those theories. This is where Hebrews 11:1 comes into play. Because we believe that God created everything out of nothing. And that takes faith. But Big Bang theorists, for example, believe that something came from nothing. The basis, I mean, the premise for their belief is that something came from nothing. I agree. I believe that everything came from nothing. There's this discrepancy. They don't have an answer as to what caused that explosion that set into the course of the universe into motion, but they're adamant that it wasn't God. They're adamant about that. We know that it was God and that he's the reason everything exists. Evolutionists want you to believe that all life started from a single cell, some amoeba somewhere. I don't know what they say caused the amoeba to exist in the first place. It's not there. They don't give that information. But I think to believe that a single cell organism somehow developed into another species altogether takes more faith, I think, than believing that God created all the different species. It just makes more sense. How many of you work puzzles? Do you work puzzles? Jigsaw puzzles? I know a lot of you do. What's the most frustrating thing that can happen when you're working a puzzle? A missing piece. It'll drive you crazy. You get this whole puzzle done, and if there's one, it doesn't matter if you have 1,999 pieces, if you have one piece missing, it drives you crazy. You don't like it. It's incomplete. It's not what it was supposed to be. Regardless of what you put together, regardless of how much you've accomplished, it's not finished until you get that last missing piece. Scientists have this thing called the missing link. The missing piece of the puzzle that would connect all the different evolutionary stages of man forming one continual timeline. And they're okay with that. They say, I think they all go nuts trying, because that's that piece that's missing. And it doesn't make sense. And it's hard to come to a conclusion when you have this, it's gone. There should be more, and it's not there. The missing piece of the puzzle that would connect all these evolutionary stages, they're still holding out for that discovery of this non-existent link. They're still holding out for the source of the Big Bang. Now, for the Christian, our faith is not entirely built on things we cannot see. It's built on discoveries that provide tangible support that what we read in the Bible is actually happening. We can read things in the Bible that historians and scientists and all kinds of academics have realized later. Things such as finding fossilized fish in mountainous regions, which would support the flood happening on the earth. It's built on archaeological excavations that show biblical proof of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And there's archaeological evidence of those things taking place. It's supported by the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls and the lessons that we learned from there. It's built on the realities that have that happened in people's lives that have proved the existence of God to them. The things that others may subscribe to chance or luck or coincidence, we call God. Christian can't believe in luck. Christian can't believe in chance or coincidence. To do that takes God out of the equation. That's why it's replaced with faith. And so by faith, there's all these things that were accomplished in the Old Testament by all these tremendous Bible characters that we remember from the flannel graph days, that we went through all the stories and we know those stories. And we know them well. And we say, wow, they were incredible people and they did incredible things and they accomplished great, great things. And it all started with by faith. And their journey begins with that realization. The things that others subscribe to just happening, we subscribe to as faith. I guess what it takes to have faith in God is humility and a willingness to see beyond what's visible. But we not only need to have eyes to see, we have to have ears to hear. And Paul says this in Romans chapter 10, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You cannot have faith in Christ if you have not heard the gospel. The ability to have faith comes from a result of accepting that which we hear. We hear what the Bible says. We hear what people tell us. Obviously, everyone who hears doesn't have faith because, as Paul said, not everyone who hears accepts the teaching that they have heard. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, Paul said. So we know that just because information is given does not mean that information is received. One of the best ways to demonstrate that is the just say no to, that's how we're going to stop drug use. Just say no. Everyone got the message. But not everyone did it. So we know that it's not just the transformation of thought. It's not just the transformation or the integration of information that is going to do everything. There has to be some acceptance of that. There has to be some faith involved with that. God gives everybody the ability to believe, but not everybody will. The Holy Spirit tries to work on every person to accept the gospel. That's what Peter was referring to. And he said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants everyone to go to heaven. But if you choose to go to hell, he will let you make that choice. He will. It's not his will, it's your will that you put over God's. God wants everyone to come to repentance. So you can't have faith without hearing, and you can't accept the message without faith. It's faith is what allows me to believe that what I'm hearing is true. And it doesn't usually happen overnight. Your faith struggles that you have had can last for a long time. Sometimes it may click right away, but there are other times where you struggle with, okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying. Sometimes it's hard to get out of the boat, you know, like Peter. It's, okay, Lord, I hear you saying, come on, but my experience tells me that that's not going to work. And oftentimes we'll put our experience before God's knowledge and God's experience. So it doesn't happen always right at first. It doesn't happen immediately sometimes. You typically have a gradual period where you're thinking, where you're considering, and then you come to a point where you're accepting more, or you get to the point of completely believing in what it is that you're hearing. Takes time. I was following one particular story. I won't go into the story, but I was following one particular story on the news this week. On Monday, the headline came out. On Wednesday, another headline came out by the same outlet saying that there's no evidence to support the first story. And this morning, I read an article. Now they're back to their first proclamation that came out on Monday. And you have a media that tells you one thing, and then they tell you another thing, and then they change their mind again. It's hard to believe that. And people struggle with that. People struggle with their faith. But here's the thing. Faith doesn't involve understanding everything. There's a lot of things that I accept by faith that I don't understand. I can't wrap my finite mind around an infinite God. It's just not going to work. And you can have faith without having to understand. I have faith in the Trinity, but that doesn't mean I fully comprehend the Trinity. I mean, I understand. I might know that they're three distinct and separate persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all one. Well, that doesn't make sense. Now, I believe it. I accept it, but I don't fully understand that concept. But by faith, I accept it as true because the Bible supports it. So trying to fully understand how God could have no beginning, I'm not going to ever come to grips with that until I get to glory when I have no end, and then I'll figure that out maybe. I don't know. But I don't have a clear concept of how that could be this side of glory, I'll tell you that for sure. But by faith we believe it to be true because the Bible supports it. And it actually makes sense to believe it, because if God's beginning could be determined, then you have to answer the question of what? Who made God? If God has a beginning point, okay, where did he come from? That's a never-ending search. That's a never-ending frustration unless you begin that discussion with, by faith. Now I have direction. Now I have understanding. You have that never-ending series if you don't. So there are two kinds of faith. We need to understand that simply having faith is not enough. We have to have the right kind of faith. The kind of faith that goes beyond mere belief. Now, James shows us what that is, and he talked about dead faith versus saving faith in James chapter 2, verse 14, beginning. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. Well, there's a couple of ways that James describes faith, two kinds. Dead faith is built simply on intellectual belief, but it goes no deeper than that. It can go as far as your mind will allow it to go. Saving faith, on the other hand, involves putting what you believe into practice. And there's no limit to that. Your faith can take you anywhere in the kingdom of God. When you act on what you say you believe, you'll be exhibiting genuine faith. That's what we see happening in Hebrews 11. See, the main point is that genuine faith demands action. Genuine faith demands action. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, action starts with faith, but you see what they did as a result of that. They did this, and that's what you will see if you're truly sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. If we are sure of God and sure of who He is and every promise that He made, that every promise that comes out of heaven of those who trust Him, then we will believe everything He has taught, and then we can live in accordance with His commands. I found this little saying. I don't know who said it, but it says, the faith of the head is the faith that is dead. The faith of the heart is better in part, but the faith of the hand is the faith that will stand, for the faith that will do must include the first two. Did you get that? Read it again. The faith of the head is the faith that is dead. The faith of the heart is better in part, but the faith of the hand is the faith that will stand, for faith that will do must include the first two. So you have faith of the head, you have faith of the heart, and that faith is translated to doing something with the hand, is basically what it's saying. And that's what we see in Hebrews chapter 11. And we live by faith, not by sight. That's not my line, I got it from Paul. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what he said. And I believe it. And I believe it's true. By faith, we step out of our comfort zone. And by faith, we take risks. And by faith, we trust God when He tells us to move, but we have no idea how it'll turn out or where it'll end up. I don't know if any of you read Philip Yancey or anything he has to say, but Philip Yancey said this, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. And I like that. Faith means trusting in advance what only makes sense in reverse. God's going to encourage us to move. God's going to encourage us to step out. And when we make that step, it may not make any sense at all to us until we make those steps and we look behind us and we say, oh, I get it. It makes perfect sense now. When you put your life in line with God's plan for your life, it makes sense as you look back. It may scare you to death looking forward, but that's the purpose of faith. Sometimes we become afraid and come up with our what-if statements. What if it doesn't work out? What if I fail? What if I, you just fill in the blanks on all that? That's when we need to trust in the God who sees what we can't see. That's when we have faith that God will equip us to do what he's telling us to do. Let's not stay in that enclosure of fear when we have the ability to be free. And you know what an Impala is? I'm not talking about the Chevy that they used to make. The African Impala, it's not really a huge animal. But an African Impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet. That's tall, 10 feet. And it can go for a distance of 30 feet. So an Impala can jump 30 feet away at a height of 10 feet in the air. But did you know that if you get African impalas and put them in a zoo and put a 3-foot tall solid fence around their enclosure, they will never leave it? You know why? Because the animal will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will land. So they are confined to that space. If you have to see where your feet are going to land, that's not faith. And sometimes God calls us to take a leap of faith. But many times we'll only put ourselves into positions of where God doesn't even have to show up. How do you expect your faith to grow if you only put yourself in a situation where God's, I don't have to do anything there. I don't even have to show up in that. How do you expect your faith to grow if that's the only place you put your life? If that's the only situation that you grasp, is that which you know and that you're comfortable with? That Impala could be free, but because of their inability to see beyond the fence, they're not even going to try it. They won't even jump. We have the ability to clear those fences. But since we're not sure what's on the other side, many people will stay trapped where they are. But if we're willing to live by faith and not by sight, we'll come to realize that when we do step out in faith and trust him, we will see the positive results from doing what he's commanded us to do, what he wants us to do, encouraged us to do, what he created us to do. We will see that a gentle answer really does turn away wrath. We'll find that when we resist the devil, he really does go away. When we go through it, we understand how the testing of our faith does develop into perseverance. Every promise that God has given to us in the scripture, when we try it, when we do it, we see that God was true in that. And we see how we will benefit and how we will reap those things that God has told us we'll do. And so seeing those things play out in our lives in confidence allows us to trust in the word of God and trust in God that we will believe that he will never forsake us. Faith proves itself through action, and God shows himself to us when we exercise our faith. Martin Luther said this, Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. That's a good mantra. That one works. Sees the invisible, believes the impossible, or the incredible, and receives the impossible. And when we live by that, when we allow our faith to be such that God wants us to jump and we jump, it's important. But if we give ourselves over to things like skepticism and pessimism, we'll miss out on experiencing God at his best. If we are people who live in doubt, worry, or fear, we will never get to higher ground. The incredible and the impossible will just pass us by. But as the Hebrew writer says, if we are sure of what we hope for, hope will then come alive. If we are certain of what we do not see, then we will be certain, or we will certainly see it. If we live by faith, we'll live a life full of joy and freedom. So what happens next? That's the question. You want the answer? We don't know. That's the reality. What happens tomorrow? We don't know. How many of you have plans for tomorrow? You have your list. You have the things that you want to do tomorrow. We don't know. Things have a way of changing sometimes. We don't even know for sure what's going to happen this afternoon, let alone tomorrow or next week or next month. I'm going to close with this poem. I don't usually read poems, but this one fits. It's a poem by Ruth Morgan. It says, "Sometimes I'm sad, I know not why. My heart is sore distressed. It seems the burdens of this world have settled on my chest. And yet I know that God, who does all things right, will lead me thus to understand, to walk by faith, not sight. And though I may not see the way he's planned for me to go, the way seems dark to me, but oh, I'm sure he knows. Today he guides my feeble step, tomorrow's in his right. He has asked me to never fear, but to walk by faith, not sight. Someday the mist will roll away, the sun will shine again. I'll see the beauty in the flowers, I'll hear the birds refrain. And then I'll know my Father's hand has led me the way to light, because I placed my hand in his and walked by faith and not by sight. It takes faith to believe in what we cannot see." And that's the life that we live. Well, whatever it is, whatever your future plans hold, it takes faith to walk where you cannot see. It takes faith to believe in what you cannot see. And so we live by faith. We trust in God. We trust in Jesus. And we know that we have a wonderful Savior. As the song we're about to sing says, we have a Savior that hides our souls in a cleft of the rock. You can count on that. Can you see it? By faith, I believe it. We have a Savior that holds us up so we won't be moved. We have a Savior that hides us in the depths of his love. And we have a Savior that covers us with his hand. That's where we need to be. That's the faith that allows us to live triumphantly in the kingdom of God. If there's any way that we can help you and encourage you to do just that, let us know as we sing this song.